Chapter 6, Activated MMS, for Protocols 1000 and 1000 Plus. I should point out that the Protocol 1000 is probably the most commonly used protocol with MMS. And so if you can learn the basics of how this is run, how to do it yourself, you get some practice with it, this might be the most useful protocol that you can do with MMS. There is a CDS equivalent to this in a later chapter that also uses a protocol C, which is similar to the protocol 1000, but I just want to point that out with this chapter. This is probably one of the most central and critical things to learn about using chlorine dioxide, the protocol 1000 and the protocol C, which I'll show you later. I want to dive deeper into showing the most common activated MMS methods of making ClO2. This is the system for making and taking it for over 20 years, this has been. It is still used extensively today. As shown in the cartoon drawing below, you mix liquid drops from the A bottle, NaClO2 liquid, with the B bottle, like an acid, like hypochlorous acid or citric acid. Then you dilute this mix of drops with water and take it into or on your body. This method was developed by some of the pioneers like Jim Humble and a partner that I mentioned earlier, Mark Grennan. These protocols are numbered 1000 and 1000 plus, or also in the next chapter, 2000, protocol 3000, and protocol 4000. The general idea is that you are trying to introduce the chlorine dioxide to your gastrointestinal system, as well as your bloodstream, in low and consistent levels. The important part is to follow the recommended dosages and the methods carefully and consistently, and only make minor adjustments after you are accustomed to the protocols. These pioneers who came up with these protocols have over a decade or more of experience with this and have personally helped thousands and thousands of people. As a part of my preparation for this book, I have read several books and taken tedious notes on the main protocols that were developed and revised over time. I have also listened to and watched hundreds of hours of Mark Grennan's iPod videocasts to review the systems and results from actual people that he has worked with. Additionally, I began making my own dosages and recording my experience with it to verify similar effects. Finally, because of my positive experience with taking chlorine dioxide, I started my own video channel so that I could both learn and demonstrate to others how to make and to use this to help better their health. However, my intent here is not so much to show what I have done and experienced with it. It's more to show what millions of others have done and accomplished through their use of it. The niche that I am trying to fill here is to give a short, around 100 to 150 pages, reference guide that can be used to make and use these simple molecules like ClO2 in the home. I also want this information preserved to the public because over the past 3 to 4 years, most of the videos and books by Humble, Grennan, Kalker, and Rivera have all been silently banned from YouTube, Amazon, Video, Vimeo, Twitter, and Facebook. These people have, in many cases, had their bank accounts and their emails and other payment accounts closed because of their work. Mark Grennan has even been put in jail for suggesting that ClO2 can stop COVID-19 and giving people this chlorine dioxide in return for their donations to his cause. Additionally, Kalker has had his doctorate degree rescinded, and all of the above individuals have been attacked greatly by the media. I think that it's nice that the powers that be work in tandem with their partners so that us common people can see the breadth of their influence. And by the influence, I mean the powers that be, how much they can shut people down who talk about these things. I don't think that you should be afraid of all of this. It clearly demonstrates how far these powerful groups will go to hide the truth. This stuff really works, man. The top three activated MMS regimens in sequence. As mentioned earlier, the three main activated MMS protocols that have been most commonly used over the past 20 years are listed below. I will explain the basics of each one and post a link to a video where I explain more about it and show how it is mixed and taken. If you have already read through and watched the video on how to properly make a single drop mix of ClO2 to drink, you're ready to learn about these three. They are as follows. And again, these are the three most common regimens. The first one is called the startup procedure. And usually you take that for 1 to 14 days for somebody who's new to chlorine dioxide. They're just trying to get their body acclimated to it. The second protocol is called the Protocol 1000, or also called the Protocol 1000 Plus. And typically this one is taken for 21 days. After that, you have what's called the third one, which is called the Maintenance Schedule. And you would take this for 2 to 4 weeks or indefinitely. So let's start with Regimen 1, the Startup Procedure, or the Startup Protocol. The startup protocol was formed as a means to give the body very tiny doses of ClO2 in order to slowly ramp up its ability to do further detoxification cleansing. The key is to take a dose of drops and then to wait to see if you have any nausea or diarrhea. Then take another dose an hour later. It usually starts by having a person make a one-drop mix of chlorine dioxide and only drinking a quarter or a half of that drink and waiting to see how the body responds. You can throw out the rest of that mix of drink because it will be less potent the next time that you are ready to take some. If you don't suffer from any excessive nausea or diarrhea over the next 60 minutes or so of taking a quarter or half a drop mix, you can take another quarter or a half drop mix and wait. The idea here is to try and take these tiny dosages over and over, up to 5 to 7 times a day, to get your body accustomed to the removal of pathogens and other toxic metals. Each person will respond at different levels to this kind of dosage because everyone has different levels of toxicity. One person may be very healthy and have little response, and another person may have a slight kidney infection, such as excessive bacteria in their system, without knowing it, and feel the nausea more than another. Also, if someone happens to be very sick and their body is in really bad shape, they will want to go slower than the suggested amounts just to make sure that their body has time to flush out the kill off of pathogens and toxins. Remember that chlorine dioxide is not masking pain or symptoms like pharmaceutical drugs might be programmed to do. It is literally removing the sources of the problem, which must be flushed out of the body. As this is done, the pain or discomfort begins to go down. Typically, the reduction of pain is faster with it than it is with antibiotics. The numbering system for counting the MMS drops. Another key to understand is how the drop measurement is counted with chlorine dioxide. Some people may wonder why it is called a one-drop mix when there are actually two drops used to make it. The main thing to remember is that the number of drops measured only refers to the sodium chloride drops and not the activator acid. That way, a three-drop mix may require 6 drops to make. That's 3 of the A mix and then 3 of the B. But we only count the A drops of sodium chloride. Now that you have learned the basics about mixing a drop, it's time to make activated MMS. The first time someone begins a startup procedure, it may seem more like a biology class lab, where you are mixing a certain dose over and over and looking at the clock to see when you should take your next drink. However, after you have some experience with it and understand what you are trying to do, which is to detox your body, at slow incremental levels without putting yourself into a nausea or diarrhea shock. You realize that there is more of an art to it, but this takes time. The key is to get your dosages and schedule right and then pay attention to your body's response. In the end, you are really trying to get your body accustomed to where you can take 8 doses of 3-drop mixes. This is a protocol 1000 level, which comes after the startup procedure, and you would do this within a day. I have a video below that walks through what to expect if it is your first time taking chlorine dioxide, and there's a video link for the starting procedure. Additionally, I have put down a few different schedules that you could consider following as a part of your startup schedule. These are just ideas and not any type of prescription that has been done. The startup, slow and easy suggestion. So this is one set of options with a table that shows this on page 62. It shows what you could do. I recommend something like this if you don't have any looming disease that needs to be addressed quickly. Wait 60 minutes between drop mixes, and always be ready to lower your dosage or to stop for the day if you start feeling an extra Herxheimer reaction. See chapter 4 to review about what Herxheimer reactions are. So this section, I have a table that goes through different days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. On the first day, it shows a quarter drop mix, wait an hour, quarter drop mix, and then just have that be for the day. Second day, half drop, half drop, half drop, all spaced and mixed within an hour of each other. And then the third day, half drop, wait an hour, half drop, wait an hour, half drop, wait an hour, and so on and so forth up until you've done 5 mixes. And then the fourth day, 1 drop, then wait an hour, 1 drop, wait an hour, 1 drop, wait an hour, and so on and so forth. By day 5 and 6, you're taking 2 drops every hour. These are 2-drop mixes or 3-drop mixes based on what the table shows. And you're just getting your body used to it. I personally went about 4 days of startup procedure, and then I just thought, okay, I think I'm ready. I went straight into the Protocol 1000. Okay, the next option here, the next way to do a startup procedure, and these are just suggestions. This one's called the Let's Get Going Quick suggestion. I recommend something like this if you really want to push it and get into the Protocol 1000. Keep in mind that if you are sick with something like a UTI or something more serious, the ClO2 will start to work quickly on cleaning out your body of infections, of toxins and bacteria, etc. This means that you might feel a little sick, like nausea or diarrhea or more, during the first few days. You don't want to make yourself feel sicker because of the ClO2, so be ready to lower the dosage drops or to stop for the day if you start feeling sick. For instance, in this case, I have a table for the Let's Get Going Quick section. Again, this is all a startup. So day 1, 2, 3, and 4. Day 1, I have quarter drop mixes up to 1 drop mixes spaced by an hour. Day 2, start with a 1 drop mix, wait an hour, 2 drop mix, wait an hour, 2 a drop mix, and wait an hour, 3. And then day 3 is 2, 2, 3, 3, 3, and then day 4, you start with the Protocol 1000, which is 3 drops activated mix every hour for 8 hours. That's a total of 24 drops. Always remember the golden rules that are talked about in the last chapters of knowing when to reduce your drop mixes. Always keep this in your mind while taking ClO2. Every person is their own petri dish of different pathogens and other toxins, which responds a little differently to the dosage. We all have different levels of bacteria, viruses, infection, and the like in us, and we can't just give a standard dosage for someone during the startup protocol. It doesn't matter if someone looks healthy or physically fit. If they are full of toxins or candida or other heavy metals, it may not always show. It is not a race to dump as many drops into you as fast as possible. If you have that mentality, you may end up exhausting your body from excessive diarrhea or vomiting so that you can't heal very well. You are trying to have a steady flow of the correct dosages for your body at that particular time. Let your body's response to the CD, the chlorine dioxide, tell you if the amount is correct up until you reach the maximum of 3 drops per dose. Who decides if that amount needs to be temporarily lowered? You do. So pay attention to how your body is responding to the dosages. Any schedule, like the ones above, are just recommendations that you can follow to get started. From that starting point, you then adjust your dosages based on how your body is accepting the detoxification. Again, never more than 3 drops for a protocol, like a 1,000 or 1,000 plus, and always be willing to lower the next dose if you are feeling more than a slight healthy level of discomfort. If you push it too much and make yourself sick from chlorine dioxide, you could weaken your body to a point where it needs to spend more of its resources on recovering from excessive diarrhea and vomiting. And if you are critically ill, taking it will add a little to the illness because your body is flushing out the killed pathogens and neutralized toxins that are infesting you. Always be willing to lower the dosage to keep your body from getting sicker than you felt before you even started taking it. Working with children. If you are working with children and want to use chlorine dioxide, I would suggest that you first have some experience with taking it yourself. It would really help if you understood how to take it and what it tastes like before asking a child to take it. Below is a table of reduced amounts of drops that can be taken by children if they are sick and starting out. Remember that 1/8 of a drop is really a 1/2 ounce of liquid that was originally mixed with a 1 drop mixed with into 4 ounces. To make this, you would make a 1 drop mix in 4 ounces of water and then only give 1/2 ounce of that cup. It is based on their weight and is barely enough to even taste at all. I have taken these amounts of CLO2 and the CLO2 actually tastes less like chlorine than tap water from the municipal systems, the tap water from the faucet. So here's a table here that shows how much to give children based on their weight, and it's usually very small. This table was taken from the recommendations from Mark Grennan and Jim Humble's books. They have worked with parents and medical clinics treating children with chlorine dioxide for over 10 years each. In the case of Jim Humble, it's been over 20 years. Regimen 2, Protocol 1000, the basic detox and procedure for so many illnesses. Now that you understand some of the ins and outs of what to expect with starting chlorine dioxide, the next thing to do is to learn about the most commonly used protocol. The title of a protocol is just a term that means something that is formally measured and done in the same way. Protocol 1000 is done by doing the following steps. First, do a starter procedure for enough days to be comfortable to take multiple doses in a day. Second, start the Protocol 1000. Mix 3 drops of activator, mix bottle A, with 3 drops of the mild acid, which is bottle B, in a dry glass or a clay coffee mug. Be sure that the drops are placed on top of each other so that they mix. Let the drops sit for 20 to 30 seconds together. They turn a little brown or yellow at that point. And then, that was the third step. Step 4, add 4 ounces of water or an approved juice like Simply Apple or Simply Cranberry. Those are my favorites. Step 5, drink the dosage. Step 6, wait 60 minutes. And during that time, pay attention to if you have much of a Herxheimer reaction. If it is not too bad, go to the next step. If you are having more than just a little nausea or diarrhea, reduce the next dose by 1/2, but keep taking it. Step 7. Do all of the above again until you have taken a total of 8 doses in a day, 1 every hour. Step 8. Do this daily for 21 days or longer until the illness has been remedied. So those are the 8 steps for taking the Protocol 1000. Here's a basic schedule on a table here on page 65 of how your day might go with the Protocol 1000. So one option would be, start at 10 a.m., take your dose, do it at 11, take another one at noon, another at 1 p.m., 2, 3, 4, 5 p.m. Another way to do it, and I just finished one like this recently, at 6 a.m., take your first dose, then take one at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, noon, and then 1. Or you can start at noon, take a dose, and then take one at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So you see they overlay different parts of the day depending on your schedule and the one that works best for you. If you were to follow the Protocol 1000 instructions exactly, you will have taken a total of 504 drops of ClO2 over a 21-day period. 24 drops a day at 21 days is 504. That's multiplied. That is just under an ounce of sodium chloride drops. But remember, the goal for the Protocol 1000 is not to get all of the drops into your body in the 21 days. If you just drink and drink and drink the 3-drop doses every hour, like the instructions say, without paying attention to how your insides are feeling, you may actually weaken your digestive system from too much diarrhea, which will then weaken the rest of your body. I know I've said this over and over again, but I just want to reiterate it for the new people starting it out. And as you get to that point, if you get to that point, your healing will slow down. It is not a race to finish 504 drops, and you shouldn't rush things when your body is telling you that it is struggling to get that load of toxins out. The goal is to give your body a consistent amount of ClO2 that it can handle for 21 days or longer. Many doses will be 3 drops, but several might be 2 or 1 drop or 1.5, depending on your level of nausea, diarrhea. Pay attention to how your body is responding and adjust the next doses accordingly. I've seen people go too fast through their startup procedure, and then they panic when they have a Herxheimer reaction while doing the protocol. For example, one man with a skin condition thought he was having an allergic reaction with the chlorine dioxide because he was experiencing some burning on his skin and some heartbeat issues, which is called tachycardia. He stopped taking it and decided to use it on his skin for a while instead of drinking it. Another woman asked if she should stop taking it in the first few days because she was feeling anxiety and hot flashes, things that she didn't normally feel. A third woman started feeling stressed and agitated by her third day and decided that she would not continue taking it because she felt that she had too much going on to focus on the dosages. Regardless of what symptomatic experiences you might have while starting this, just remember 2 things. First, the symptoms of the Herxheimer's are expected. You can prepare to anticipate them, and those all of the above that I mentioned were Herxheimer reactions. Secondly, you are in charge of the dosages and should lower them when you are feeling the stress on your body system. Cut it in half if you need to, the dosages, or more on the following dose. Just keep the flow of CD going, the chlorine dioxide, no matter how small. You will get over this part and start to feel much better soon. Here's an instructional video that talks about the Protocol 1000 and the Protocol 1000 Plus. And the Protocol 1000 Plus is explained in the future section in this chapter. This is on page 66. Now, on page 67, I have a table here that shows a list of the diseases that are treated well with the Protocol 1000. It's a long list, so I'm going to read through these, and it's going to take a little while. Hopefully, you can understand my pronunciation of these diseases. What can the Protocol 1 treat on page 67? Acid reflux, acne, allergies, ADHD, altitude sickness, Alzheimer's disease, anorexia nervosa, arthritis, Asperger's syndrome, asthma, back pain, bad breath, baldness, bipolar disorder, brain injury, bronchitis, bursitis, canker or cold sores, carpal tunnel, syndrome, celiac disease, cholesterol, COPD, congestive heart failure, Crohn's disease, candida, conjunctivitis, which is pink eye, deep vein thrombosis, depression, diabetes, diarrhea, diverticulitis, Down syndrome, drug abuse, dysfunctional urine bleeding, dyslexia, dengue fever, eating disorders, eczema, endometriosis, enlarged prostate, epilepsy, which is seizures, erectile dysfunction, eye problems, fibroids, fibromyalgia, fracture, flu, gallbladder disease, gallstones, generalized anxiety disorder, genital herpes, genital warts, glomerulonephritis, which is also known as nephritis. I slaughtered that one. Gonorrhea, gout, herpes, headache, heart disease, hemorrhoids, hepatitis, hives, hyperglycemia, which is high blood sugar, hypertension, high blood pressure, hyperthyroidism, influenza, insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus, iron deficiency, anemia, irritable bowel syndrome, itching, joint pain, juvenile diabetes, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, kidney disease, kidney stones, mad cow disease, migraines, mononucleosis, osteoarthritis, osteomyelitis, osteoporosis, ovarian cysts, Parkinson's disease, peptic ulcers, pink eye, polio, pneumonia, psoriasis, restless leg syndrome, rheumatoid arthritis, rheumatoid fever, ringworm, rosacea, severe acute respiratory syndrome, sinus infection, skin rash, smallpox, staph infection or MRSA, strep throat, syphilis, tuberculosis, ulcers, and UTI yeast and yeast infections. Now, after reviewing this above list, you might be inclined to say, what the? How can something that helps syphilis also help with ADHD? What the heck does a UTI have to do with diabetes or restless leg syndrome? You crazy, man. Or something like that. Remember that chlorine dioxide is not a cure to these diseases. It is a pathogen and toxin cleaning crew that neutralizes the poisons in your body or the toxins and then leaves a load of oxygen and some chlorine for your body to accelerate its healing and tissue recovery. After it does its work, your body has to flush out these neutralized toxins and pathogens. This happens with every dose that you take of the ClO2, and that is all gone out of your body within 1.5 to 2 hours. That's the ClO2. With each dose that you take, your body is given better leverage to be able to heal itself. It is the body that heals itself when it is not disrupted by the pathogens and the other toxic material that enters it. Give it a chance to prove itself, and you will see what it can do. Protocol 1000 with children. As I mentioned earlier in the startup protocol, any parent or guardian should have experience taking chlorine dioxide on their own before using it with their kids. It will help you to be more knowledgeable and compassionate towards what they are tasting and ingesting. You should also get over all of the FDA warnings and just use some common sense and actual science data instead of the fear tactics that they use. It is very clear that modern pharmaceutical companies use chlorine dioxide to treat people's sicknesses, as shown in Chapter 2. I'm not giving medical advice here, but I am encouraging you to learn and experience a simpler way towards healing from sickness. Here's a table demonstrating suggested amounts that you can give a child for the Protocol 1000. Notice that the drops are again based on the weight of the child, and that you would start with a single drop mix of ClO2, and then only give a portion of that 4-ounce drink to them. And this table here shows, based on the weight, from a baby size, for 7 pounds or less, children that are 7 to 24 pounds, children 25 to 49 pounds, 50 to 74, and 75 pounds or more, about how much you would give them. Now, so far, I've talked about the Protocol 1000. I'm going to go into the Protocol 1000 Plus, but in order to do that, I need to introduce something called DMSO. DMSO is the plus in the Protocol 1000. The Protocol 1000 and the 1000 Plus are very similar, except for one thing. The Protocol 1000 Plus includes something called DMSO, also known as dimethyl sulfoxide, and that is to be taken at the same time as the 8 chlorine dioxide dosages a day. It comes in a clear liquid form or as a gel that has a percentage tied to it. The highest percent that you can use of dimethyl sulfoxide is something like a 99.9%. Whereas you can also buy it at a lower potency, like a 70% or lower. You can also easily dilute DMSO from a higher level to a lower level with distilled water. It is considered to be a jack-of-all-trades ointment that treats several things in the body, like inflammation, bruising, sprains, concussions, carpal tunnel, respiratory diseases, and even strokes. There were a lot of research articles produced during this time when it first came out, which is in the 1960s and 1970s, and they said that it was safe and helpful against multiple diseases. It was a hot new drug at that time in the 1960s, and it was mysteriously shot down by the FDA and not allowed to be used with general medical prescription in the U.S. However, because of its usefulness, it was heavily used since then for livestock and veterinarian work. It is also quietly used in many professional sports arenas because it is simple to have on hand, and it also helps to heal injuries faster. There are some great videos that cover the controversy on it, along with its effectiveness. There are several good books on how to use it, which is very helpful. Lastly, you can use DMSO on, you can find DMSO online to purchase, either at like a walmart.com or at a store where they sell livestock equipment and feed. You can also get it on Amazon and eBay as well. DMSO is made from tree sap and other materials within pine and other trees that are used in making paper. Some websites call DMSO a byproduct of the paper industry, but I think that is a misinforming way to describe it. To call DMSO a byproduct of an industry makes it sound like some kind of waste material that is a pollutant or a garbage to be thrown away. With this logic, we could say that apple cider vinegar is a byproduct of the farming industry because it comes from rotting apples. In the case of DMSO and apple cider vinegar, they are inexpensive to produce, they do wonders for the body's health, and no one is going to make a lot of money selling it. That is why you don't see it in the medicine aisle in a grocery store. However, it really does wonders for the body if you understand how to use it. DMSO is used medically in three different ways. It is either taken through the mouth, put on the skin topically, or given through a needle with injections. In this book, I only focus on drinking it and putting it on the skin. With each of these methods for taking it, you need to understand that the dosages of DMSO are usually very small, drops or at most a teaspoon. You can take it with water or another liquid without any other medicine. Most of the ClO2 dosages that I have used with DMSO had it at a 70% dilution, which you can try at a higher level if you are experienced with taking it. It also has one conspicuous side effect. This is talking about DMSO. It is said that DMSO liquid tastes like oysters and leaves your breath smelling a little like garlic for some hours after. So you may not want to use this stuff before going on a date. A penetrating solvent, anti-inflammatory, a carrier and healer all in one. DMSO is also a natural solvent and an anti-inflammatory ointment. If you put it on your skin, it immediately starts to work its way through the pores and other layers into your bloodstream, where it helps to bring the inflammation inside down and allow for faster healing. It doesn't kill your skin, but if the potency is 99% and you put on too much, it could make the skin have a bit of a burn like sunburn. I could tell you a funny story about my wife and her face with DMSO, but she would not appreciate it. She survived, though. Now she only takes it if I give her a foot massage with DMSO and coconut oil or something like that. It is a great soother and relaxer after a long day on the feet. I am leaving this reference to see if my wife ever reads this book. For this reason, it is good to make sure that your skin is not too sensitive to a DMSO and that you only put on a small amount at a time. I usually put it on my ankle or leg and let it work its way through my body internally. Once it is on your skin or in your mouth, it can penetrate both the skin, the flesh, the organs, the veins, and even the material around the brain known as the blood-brain barrier. It only takes about 5 to 15 minutes to do this, and the inflammation and the pain are greatly reduced. Additionally, with all of this, it is a muscle and body tissue relaxer. It literally calms a person down within minutes of taking it on the skin or orally. The penetrating power of it is one of the reasons why it works so well. Once it is in your system, your blood system, it gets to places that even your bloodstream can't easily reach. If you take DMSO orally, you can do it alone or diluted with most other liquids. Don't be afraid of it, though. It's really great stuff. When it is mixed with other medicines, DMSO has the ability to push the medicine more thoroughly through all parts of the body beyond just the bloodstream. Hard-to-reach areas inside the brain, in the tendons and ligaments, are better accessed when you take medicine with DMSO. Additionally, you can put a medicine like chlorine dioxide on your skin and then apply DMSO to push it into the area of flesh in your body, into your bloodstream. This has been very helpful for specific area treatments of arthritis or tumors. Other DMSO research. In some future editions of this book, I will probably dedicate a whole chapter of the book to DMSO. If you didn't look at it scientifically, you could say that it is magical and that it works against chronic pain, bruising, wounds, concussions, arthritis, any inflammation, frostbite, burns, cancers, stroke, recovery, especially right after strokes, and the overall healing of damaged tissue. Back in the 1960s and 1970s, DMSO was a very promising substance to be used for medicinal purposes. There was a lot of research put out with it from the US and Russia and Japan and other countries at this time, and they were having great success with treating the above health issues in the paragraph listed. In Mark Grennan's second book on chlorine dioxide, he says that it has the ability to reduce autoimmune antibodies that damage or destroy the human tissue, and that it prevents free radicals from destroying lubricating fluid in the joints. However, the FDA has mysteriously only approved one or two medical uses for it. I also found that DMSO was turned down at least 3 times for an investigational new drug, which is called an IND application. Yet I have not found anything dangerous about it, other than you need to be careful about the quantity and the skin sensitivity with any medicine. It is used in medical research for the preservation of live materials and transportation of transplant organs. It preserves live flesh very well, especially against cold temperatures. There are several stories about professional athletes still using this since that time. However, they are very careful about discussing what additives and supplements they use. It is a touchy subject because of the various banned substances. I couldn't find DMSO being banned by any other sports organizations, though. Veterinarians use it quite a bit when working with animals. It is especially used with horses and horse racing. I put a tab in my spreadsheet link with some of the more practical uses of DMSO. It is called DMSO Treatments, the tab is. Feel free to spend some time online reading through the benefits of it from the natural medicine practitioners. I still think that there is some magic pixie dust in it too. So below in this section, this is page 71, I have a couple of links where I explain and talk through DMSO and some of the benefits of it. Also, I show how you can dilute it. One thing about diluting DMSO, when you add water to it, it warms up a little bit. There's a reaction that takes place. So you might want to take your time when adding water to it to dilute it down from a 99% down to a 70%. Fortunately, you can still find books on DMSO on Amazon.com. If you search out on YouTube, you will find a strange filtered set of responses, because that is how YouTube works these days. For better information on video on how to use DMSO for natural healing, you will need to look through alternative video sites like BitChute, Brighteon, Rumble, etc. Below are a list of books out there that teach more on DMSO as well. One is called DMSO Nature's Healer, Healing with DMSO, that's another one. Another one is called The DMSO Handbook. Another one is DMSO, The Universal Healing Wonder. Another is The DMSO Handbook for Doctors. I have a copy of that on PDF form. Another one is called Dimethyl Sulfoxide, DMSO in Trauma and Disease. And the last one I have here is DMSO, The Universal Healer. Okay, so moving on from DMSO, now that you understand about it, what I've been able to find and share, let's go on to the regimen number 2, continue, and that is the Protocol 1000 Plus. I call it the DMSO Boost. Because the Protocol 1000 Plus dosages of chlorine dioxide are identical to the Protocol 1000, I would refer you to the schedule of the Protocol 1000 to review what amount is needed. So it's exactly the same as the Protocol 1000 and the Protocol 1000 Plus are exactly the same for chlorine dioxide. The only difference is the Plus has DMSO. Simply a 3-drop mix of ClO2 with 4 ounces of water every hour for 8 doses. The addition of DMSO is done by adding drops of the 70% DMSO to the drink after you've added the 4 ounces of water. It is important to remember the timing of this. First, mix the drops. Wait 20 to 30 seconds. Then add the 4 ounces of water. And then add the DMSO. And lastly, you drink it. How many drops of DMSO do you add to each dose of the 3 drops of MMS activated? Well, I would suggest only starting with a 1 drop for a dose of ClO2. You need to see how your body responds before increasing it. If you seem okay with it, you can increase it by up to 2 drops of DMSO on the next Protocol 1000 Plus dose. Use the same golden rules with DMSO as you would with chlorine dioxide. If you feel sicker with the DMSO drops than you did before taking any of the other supplements, then ease back on the DMSO drops. If you are feeling okay with the current drops, then you can increase the DMSO. In the end, you can put up to 3 drops of DMSO for every 1 drop of CD or chlorine dioxide. That's a 3-to-1 ratio of DMSO to CD. In other words, if you were taking a Protocol 1000 Plus, and then you had a dose of 3 drops of chlorine dioxide, you can also take up to 9 drops of DMSO with that drink. Now, keep in mind, DMSO is potent stuff. When you add it to chlorine dioxide, it's kind of like puts it on a steroid level, a super strong level. So ease on to that very slowly, 1 drop, maybe a second at a time, to see if you can get it going well. Overall, I like to think of DMSO as the escorting guards of the chlorine dioxide. If the chlorine dioxide were some kind of heavyweight boxer heading to the ring to fight, the DMSO is the crew of bodyguards that push people and things out of the way so that the boxer can get to the ring more quickly and easily. Lastly, in the case of the people with liver cancer, you would probably need to check for the slight chance that your body is not being ready for DMSO. I cover this issue in my DMSO video at about the 32-minute mark. And there's a DMSO link up below on this on page 72. If there's any chance you have liver infections, you'll want to start very, very slow. And they should show that there's a way that you can test to see if you have a liver infection going on. Because you need to clean up that liver before you go with any DMSO for that. The way you clear it is, of course, by doing the protocol 1000. Or just the 1000, not the 1000 plus. Regimen 3, the maintenance schedule. Now remember, I went through Regimen 1, which is the startup. Regimen 2, which is the protocol 1000 or protocol 1000 plus. And then Regimen 3, the maintenance schedule. The maintenance schedule is pretty simple and straightforward as regimens go with chlorine dioxide. It is a chlorine dioxide dose to be taken regularly if you are not on a specialized protocol. It is suggested to be taken for months, years, or even indefinitely to help your body keep its immunities up and to fend off attacking pathogens. It does not necessarily make it so that you never get sick, but it does make you stronger against the possibility of getting sick. Below is a table that shows how much and how often you can take this maintenance dose. Your age and your weight are the main factors that decide how many drops and how often. So here on page 73, there's a table called the maintenance dosage recommendations. And it's based off your weight, how much you take, and your age. If you're a typical adult, under 60 years old, it's a 6-drop mix of activated MMS. If you're over, it's an 8-drop mix. I should say the big factors are whether you're under or over 60 years old. That's as to how often you take it, either once a day or 3 times a week. And it also depends on if you are around 200 or a little less and or above that 200-pound mark. And I'll just let you look at the table. I don't want to confuse you anymore with my description of the table. Remember that the drops are a mix of the sodium chloride and the acid activator that's listed on this table. If you are above 200 pounds and you take an 8-drop dose, or you take an 8-drop dose. However, if you are under 200 pounds, you take a 6-drop dose. If you are over 60 years old, you would take a dosage every day. Under 60 years of age would only need the dosage every 2 to 3 days. For children and very tiny people, the table shows how you would adjust your drop amounts based on their weight. Hopefully this is a pretty straightforward description of how you would give your kids a dose. I personally do not have any experience working with little kids' dosages because mine are all older. Ironically, my children who have taken chlorine dioxide decided only to take it when they were having some kind of chronic health problem. The others are not as interested. I guess that's how we sometimes learn to change our paradigm, that is through pain and crisis, to get us to try something different.